Giles Bolton is author of Poor Story, an insider uncovers how globalisation and good intentions have failed the world's poor. So when it comes to the £6 billion a year that the UK spends in aid money to help developing world countries, how big a problem is corruption?
Oh, it really happens, without a doubt. I mean, most of the countries who most need, especially humanitarian aid, are very fragile countries with weak institutions, with people who are very poor. And, you know, if things are passing through their hands, it's extremely tempting to take little bits and pieces. So it's a significant issue. I think what a lot of people don't understand, though, is that it is relatively easy to overcome to a large enough extent that you can still be confident most of your money is spent correctly. And that's just about putting in the right procedures, making sure there's clear accountancy, having very clear agreements on how your money is going to be spent.
Do we have to just live with the fact that there will always be some level of corruption, and we just have to shrug our shoulders and say, well, better than not having anything at all?
Yes, I think that's really key. You know, it's very hard if you're a junior official, perhaps in the Ministry of Education in Rwanda, and all this money's coming through and you perhaps haven't been paid for 5 months. And your family is, you know, on the brink of starvation. That's the kind of situation where it's very hard not to be able to understand that someone might try and take a little bit here and there to just to keep themselves going, keep their family going. And when you're working in very, very poor countries, that risk is never going to go away. As long as you can be confident that the vast majority of the money is being spent properly and you're trying to limit the opportunities and cut them down and you've got a good program agreed on how to do it, then you can still be very, very comfortable that it's the most effective way to spend money.
And how good is the UK at making sure their money is not corrupted?
I think the UK is pretty good. What I actually most like about the way the UK does it is that it's upfront more than a lot of other countries about taking the risks. So, for example, where I was working in Rwanda, I was there 6 years after the genocide, and the government of the time was the minority Tutsis, and the majority of whom themselves had been butchered only a few years before. Now, that was a minority government. It wasn't a democracy. It was obviously going to be a long time before they felt comfortable about opening up the country. But they were the only game in town, and a lot of things they were doing were very impressive. So the UK was one of the few countries there saying, right, we're going to take a bit of a gamble here because you're an extremely poor country. We're going to help you boost up your own resources to address your problems. We're going to have a clear agreement with you about what you are going to work towards and what we agree that perhaps, you know, you won't be doing certainly with our money. And I think that was really a risk worth taking, because otherwise you're going to leave a country without sufficient resources to meet its own needs, and gradually conflict stews again generation on generation.
We talked about the corruption from the developing world point of view, as in the receiving country. What about those countries, though, that are actually giving the money? Because sometimes I wonder whether there's not a little bit of corruption going on there too.
I think there is a lot of corruption, perhaps not in the conventional sense, but if you look at the American aid program, for example, where nearly 50% of an American aid money is actually spent on US consultants, and you start to ask yourself, well, hold on, is this really benefiting poorer countries as much as it should? That's not to say that consultants can't do very important work in country, but it certainly doesn't need to be on that scale. And that's actually, ironically, the reason America does that so much is they're so distrustful of the problem of corruption in Africa that they then almost cut their nose off to spite their face and end up with very ineffective aid. So corruption or no corruption, you need to be going in with your eyes open and taking some more risks.
And moving on from the corruption as we would normally define it, and thinking about people having their own vested interests, which I suppose in a way is using the money in a corrupt kind of a way, how much does that happen where they turn around and say, well, you know what, we've got all this aid money to spend and we want to achieve this particular thing because that suits our interests?
It happens less than I think it used to during the Cold War, but it still happens. And some aid money from some countries is still spent in strange ways. So I think France and Australia still count their spending on illegal immigrants as aid money. One of the legitimate uses of French aid money is to promote francophonie, so French culture. None of those things are necessarily bad, but that's limiting the amount of money that's available for more important aid work, which is about providing health and education, giving people opportunities for a healthy life. So there are some real problems of effectiveness there, even if we might not directly call it corruption.
That's Giles Bolton. His book, Poor Story, is published by Ebury.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.